He's having surgery. Sorry.
Just to interpret, he has scoliosis in his back. And the one doctor says it's at 15%, and that's when they normally will correct that surgery. So he's going sideways like this. Right, Carter? Yeah. And so he's going to go see another specialist that specializes in his condition for another opinion. So that's where we're at now. Yeah, and because he's so young, it's the best time to do it. So, yeah.
Pastor Allen, why don't you do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Father God, I thank you for Carter, Lord God. Thank you for this young man, Lord God. God, we just hold them up before you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, you can heal. You can touch. There's nothing impossible for you, Lord God. So we're asking you, Lord God, to give him favor, Lord God, with the doctors, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. And God, we just want to reverse all the work of the enemy too in Carter's life right now in Jesus' mighty name. And so we just ask for a reversal, Lord God, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Thank you for his bravery, Lord God, coming forward this morning and just sharing what's on his heart, Lord God. God, we just thank you for Carter. Thank you for bringing him into our lives, Lord God. We love this young man. And God, we just hold him up continually to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we thank you for that right now in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Amen. So apparently we got one more announcement. And we just want to welcome all the new people here this morning. And Tim's sister, amen. And there's Pat. I just met him this morning. There's some other guys here, so just want to welcome all of you. Amen? Just thanks for coming and joining with us this morning. Amen.
Thanks. So, yes, we are in a spiritual battle. And a number of great victories were won with Renew, the purchasing and cleaning up of an ugly place and making it a place of light and joy and peace and Jesus Christ. And right next door, of course, is another dark place that will be transformed as of April 9th. But all of a sudden I'm wondering, should have I said that? Anyway, 3 days before that, this is the important part. This is what you got to listen to. So 3 days before that, on the 6th, there is a satanic I don't know, what do you want to call it? Worship, yeah. Like, there's a satanic band that's going to be playing in Lotus on the 6th, 3 days before the light comes in. So, there's a bunch of guys, a handful of guys that have said, hey, this is going on the 6th, let's get out there at that place on the 6th, and pray and offer. They're suggesting, hey, we're going to put together some hot chocolate and offer that to people, maybe some coffee, just to love on the people that are there and to show the love and the light and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ to those people that might be going to that event that is, like, it's gross. Yeah, so that is the advertisement that they're blasting out. So let's go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ on the 6th and join in prayer to combat the enemy. There's some spiritual warfare that we can engage in. And yeah, Doug just said let's take communion. Whatever. Come and join in. I don't have the details of the other gentlemen that are already talking about this. That do not worship here. They go to other churches in town, and they're saying this is coming. Well, let's come and fight against it in the name of Jesus. So, give her.
Well, we should be radical, and we know we need to start seeing things for what they really are around here and in the city. We need to start seeing things for what they really are and where the battle is really being waged. And it is not an accident. It's not a coincidence that just prior to that Lotus building, you know, being given up, that this is going on. And I'm just going to speak this morning a little bit about, you know, a little bit as your pastor, I guess. In some ways, I feel like part of my calling is that I have my finger on the pulse of what's going on, at least to some degree, spiritually in our lives and what's going on in our church. And maybe you're seeing the same thing I'm seeing, that there's a lot of warfare happening. There's a lot of attack going on against us in our lives personally, in some of our marriages and some of our jobs and some of the things that are going on. We should be well aware today that the enemy is doing everything he can. Now, he is raging. He's raging against us. And we're foolish if we don't recognize that. If we miss that, or if we pretend it's not happening, then we can't be prepared for it. And we can't get the armor on. And the fact that it's Kevin, is that what it is? Kevin, I haven't met you yet, but God bless you. You are an inspiration. Just that you're here today. You are the heartbeat of what we're trying to do down there with the thrift store, is that people come and they just come for prayer, and that you gave your life to Jesus. That's just amazing, and God needs another big hand for that. And I just speak to you that there's hope. Man, you got hope. You have hope because there's always hope in Jesus. And he can make a way. The Bible says that he makes a way where there is no way. We have prayed for you already. We continue to pray for you, and we're going to just begin to love you. And God's got a plan in this. He does. But you need to understand that this is not from God. This doesn't come from God. Not the disease, not the sickness, not the tumor, that God wants to remove that. God, our God, is all about life. He's not about death. He created us to live. He didn't create us to die. We die because we've chosen sin. And God has provided us a new way through Christ. But I guess I'm getting back to what I'm trying to say today is that there's a lot of attack going on, and that every single one of us needs to be aware of it. There's a lot of very exciting things happening. Renew is going to be opening in 2 weeks. And then somewhere down the road, we'll have a grand opening. And the original vision that we had was largely about people coming in, where we could, do you remember that? Remember we talked about that? I said this over and over again, that this is not just about clothing and selling things. It's about lives. It's about people. It's about community. You have no idea how many people are coming in and volunteering that we don't even know. There's all kinds of people coming in, and some of them are there all day long, and they're volunteering, and they're putting things out, and we're getting to know them. I've had different opportunities to pray with different people who've come in, or sometimes they're just people who are staff, or some of you. And that's just really exciting. But don't be mistaken. The enemy isn't happy about that at all. And what he's going to want to do, and what he's already trying to do, and I'm just telling you straight out, because I don't know how else to say this. He wants to tear us apart. He does. He's going to do what he can to bring discord and disunity and ways of us fighting with each other and being jealous of each other and not being happy and feeling sorry for ourselves. And it's going to be up to you. It's not going to be up to me. It's going to be up to you to be mature. It's going to be up to us as a body to say, I am not going to allow this enemy to drive that wedge in my heart. I'm not going to allow that to happen. One of the challenges that we have is that we have like 3 or 4 positions that are part-time positions. We have 20 people applying for it. You know what that is? That's a recipe for disaster. I'm just going to say it out straight out. That's a recipe for disaster. There's 4 people that'll be happy. There'll be 16 people who have the potential to feel sorry for themselves and to go, well, I'm not liked as much as that person, or they always ignore me, or you know how it goes, right? We get that little voice inside of us. That little voice is not a little voice. It is the voice of an enemy who wants to tear you out of the body. So I'm just encouraging you today. We can't keep everybody happy. We just can't. We gotta stand back. We gotta humble ourselves and say, God, have your way. You have your way, God. Because it's not about whether I'm happy or whether another person is happy. It's about whether the kingdom of God is being advanced and being served. Amen. So this is going to be a test. It's already a test. And there's been things that have been said and written and things that have been thrown about and gossiped about. Just stop it. Stop it. We don't need to do that. We don't need to engage in that. Stop it. Don't let the enemy control your voice. Don't let the enemy rile you up. If you're getting riled up, there's some things out there that are just plain idiocy. Like, it doesn't even make sense. And when things don't make sense and you scratch your head and you go, I don't even understand how that's possible. That is the enemy, because he is the author of chaos. We ought to recognize that when there's chaos out there and when people are saying or feeling or thinking things and we're going, you know, none of that, it's not even rational. You go, well, you know what, when that happens, we should clue in and go, well, that, we know where that comes from. It comes from the one who is chaotic. And he is all about stealing and destroying, and he's going to try to do that. But we stand against it. He's not going to be able to do that. He's already defeated. He's defeated. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, we have... Okay. She just said some horrible things to me that we need to pray about. That's not true. I wasn't here last week, and we were praying about the manager, and I was just actually going to go into that. We have hired the board. We have a board of Renew, because we believe this is a really wise way to do this. And again, not everyone agrees with that. Some people are even upset that we have a board. We have 8 people who are part of the board. I wanted to introduce you to them. So I don't know if I got all my papers here, but Kendall, you want to stand up? Ray, you want to stand up? Darcy and Kirsten, you stand up. Crystal, you stand up. These are our board members for Renew. Mark stands up. I'm missing. Who am I missing? Clayton's not here. Okay. Paul in. Give him a big hand. Stay standing. God, right now we pray a blessing over these people because they need wisdom. And we recognize these individuals as leaders among us, God, and that you have given them... a responsibility in this, and they have willingly decided to serve you. So in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for your anointing, we pray for your blessing on them, and we agree today that what they decide, that there's wisdom in that. That who they choose, that there's wisdom in that. And that you work through your body, and you work through these leaders. And we agree to this, God. So we pray for your blessing on these men and women, that there'll be great unity, and that your blessing will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 And I did that because, they hired someone whose name is Deborah Fair. I did not interview. I did interview a couple people, but most of the interviewing was done by our board. I wanted to try to stay out of it as much as possible. They had about five or six really good candidates, which is a real blessing. They could choose from a number of people who are very qualified. This particular individual, Deborah, maybe one day she'll be here and she can just share her faith. She was very overt in her faith. She wanted to minister. It's one of the first things that she said is, I want this to be a place where I can minister, where I can pray for people, where I can lay my hands on people. She is someone filled with God, filled with His Holy Spirit. In addition to that, she has an amazing resume, like unbelievable retail experience, working with her own businesses, working with many, many employees, understanding all the dynamics of that relationships. I can go on and on. Like, and she had, I think more than that, she just had the Spirit of Christ. She really had, has just a real walk with Jesus, an easy way of talking about who her Lord is. And I think I did meet her. This is one of the people I was able to meet, which I'm really glad for. There was an excitement in her. She wasn't coming to this saying, well, I'm coming here to save today, or I'm coming here because you really need me. She says, I'm coming to Renew because I'm excited about this ministry. I'm excited about where it is. I'm excited about what's going to happen here. I'm excited about the people whose lives are going to be changed, because we're going to be open there, and we're going to be there to share and to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. So pray for Deb. I think she goes by Deb, even though Deb, whatever. Pray for her. And pray, because soon now, they will be interviewing some of you, some of the part-time people, the 3 or 4, 5, whatever it ends up being. Pray for that. That's a process. We need the right individuals to do that. It's you know, we're family. And that makes it harder. It makes it harder because sometimes we have to make a choice. And it's not personal. It's just sometimes you just make a choice. And honestly, sometimes you make a choice between two people. You don't even know what's better. You just got to throw it up in the air and you go, okay, God, we're doing the best we can under these circumstances. Remember, too, that in the future, if this is really blessed and goes well, there'll be more people that may very well need to be hired. But also remember that we need volunteers. Like I said from the very beginning, this is a volunteer-driven ministry. We need you to be volunteering. We need you to start bringing in your clothing. Right now, it's full of stuff, which is great. But if what happens, if what we hope happens, all that stuff's going to go. And we need to keep feeding it. Got to keep feeding it. So, I don't know. I felt last night that God was just laying it on my heart to say, the only way I know how to fight the enemy is just straight up. Just straight up. I'm just going to say it out loud. I'm going to say, you know what? We all have to be careful here. I'm just going to fight against him. I'm just not going to pretend this isn't happening. It is happening. There's some division, just a little bit, but it's enough that it's enough for us to wake up to it and say, we're not going to allow him any foothold in Potter's hands. None at all. Not one bit. 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 Okay. Now I'm going to do something different here. Just change a little directions, but over the last day or so, about 30 of our women were at a retreat. And I think that's exciting, right? I know you're not counting on this. You guys weren't ready for this, but that way you sleep better. You don't need to worry about it. But can you share some? Maybe some of the women want to say a few things, and I get to.
Okay, well, I was really blessed to be there, and there were some really amazing people there. I just thank God. You know, sometimes when you're preparing for something like this, you go, "Well, God, I don't know. This just seems like sticks and stones, and you're going to have to pull it all together." And He did. He pulled it all together, and I just want to praise Him because it was really good. Our topic was hearing God. And not that I'm a pro at that, but it's something that I'm really seeking God on that. And I'm just looking at some of these beautiful ladies here. And we had so many people who just said, you know what? We actually practiced hearing from God a few times. And God was just so there. And some very cool things happened. Is there anybody that was there want to come and just say a couple things? I could come to you.
When I was there, we had to put on a piece of paper something unusual about ourselves, and I was having a tough time, and so finally I put it down, and I put, "I'm lonely," and shortly thereafter, it was pointed out that everybody is lonely, and yes, I agree, we can be lonely, and so later on, when I went to another table, and I was sitting there, the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, "I have reminded you many times that you're not lonely. Even though you feel lonely, you are not lonely because I'm with you all the time. And Jesus is with you, and Dad is with you as well. He's with us all the time." And that's what I wanted to share. Thank you.
It was really enlightening for me because I'd never really thought that I'd heard God speaking to me. And so we did this one exercise near the end, and it was like giving a prophetic word or vision about some of the other ladies or whatever. We were divided in groups of 4 and 5, and it was like I did get words, I did get visions, and God was speaking to me, and that was a real revelation for me. It really, it really touched me. And it was really enjoyable.
It was a fantastic day and a half, I guess we can call it. And as Stan was saying earlier, like, lots of us have been attacked, and it's been a crazy week for the two of us. And you can't give up your joy. And what I realized with all these women around is that each and every one of us have such a strong network of people to hold our arms up when we're tired in this church, that we have so many people we can go to. We just need to go to them and not wait for someone to come to us. We need to just be bold and call out and say, Lord, bring someone or tell me who I can go to. Because, man, the women in this church, we got warriors. I'm telling you, we got warriors. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Oh, Teresa.
I actually want to put to practice what we've learned. I'm feeling for the men too. Even though you weren't there, you can hear the voice of God. It's in different ways. It can be by the word of God. It can be through a friend. It can be through just being silent and God just speaking to you. And that's one of the things that we learned this weekend, is that we can hear. We just have to still ourselves and just wait and even maybe ask God a question of, what do you want to say to me today? And that's what we did. And that's what we heard God saying to us about how precious we are. And I want to say that to you men, that you are precious. You have precious wives and that he loves you very much.
You know, did you want to say something? No? I did. It was to me, it was just amazing. And I have to agree with Robin that I just stood back in awe of who God is and how God is raising up the women of this church. He is raising us up. We are getting to know him in a deeper way. And that is what his desire is. His desire is to know us. And so I just want to praise God. I just want to thank him. And there's another women's retreat already. This was just a small one because long story. We're gonna have another one in September. I think it's the first week of September. We will keep you tuned in on that if you're interested in coming. It's good even to get to know each other. Like I learned some things about some people this weekend that I just can't get out of my head. Anyway, thank you.
Awesome. And we have a men's retreat coming up too pretty soon, right? Dates, do you know? April 21st weekend. Good. We got so many announcements today. I'm sorry about that, but it just means that we're a church on the move. That's a good thing. I'm going to just add a couple quick things. And actually, the weekend prior to that, which would be the 15th, 16th, and 17th, I think I was saying 13th, 14th, and 15th. Pam and Alf and the River Church from Abbotsford are coming down, so keep that in mind. That's like 2-3 weeks away. When they came here about a year and a half ago, some of us feel like that was a turning point. It was for me, and it was for some of us. So save that. Save those dates. They come. They're coming with some prophetic and some gifted people and lots of really good teaching and great worship. They're bringing their whole worship team down Friday night, a couple sessions on Saturday, and then they'll take our service on Sunday morning. And then just one more thing before I open the word. On Friday, there is a Good Friday service. Yeah, we're going to get together. Last year, we did this with a few churches, and I just found out that it fell apart. Now, that doesn't mean our service is going to fall apart, so it'll be 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Probably start around 10:15, but we see 10, right? That's a little bit dishonest, but it's... But I want to ask you to do this, or at least to just seek God on this. I think it's a good week for us to fast. And that can be a fast from food. It can be a fast from television, maybe a fast from your phone. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe you go, you know, God's not calling me to do that. He's sort of laying that on my heart. I want to break that fast with Lord's Supper on Friday morning, coming together. A fast is something that we do that we withhold. We just don't do it. We don't eat for a day or two, or we don't watch TV. We do that so that God fills that gap, so that we have time and we think more about him. We pray more, and we seek God, and particularly in light of some of the things that we've just been talking about today. in light of the attack of the enemy. He's so overt. He's so evil. He's so intent on destroying us. Can we just find something and seek God and fast and pray and do what his own disciples weren't able to do that night when he was in Gethsemane? And he said, yeah, just watch and pray, and they fell asleep. I think that we're pretty good at that part of it, the churches. We're good at falling asleep. He says, watch and pray. So I'm going to encourage you to be here. It's not going to be a real long service. We're going to do singing. We want to worship. We'll sing lots of songs of the cross. And then we'll just come to his table. And we'll eat. And we'll drink. And we'll just remember. And we'll celebrate the fact that our sins are forgiven. Because he not only died, but he is alive.
Amen.
Amen. This morning, for a little bit, I want to read to you from the Gospel of Luke. And it's the triumphal entry. Today is Palm Sunday, the day when Jesus entered into Jerusalem with all his disciples. And we read in Luke chapter 19, verse 28, the following words. Luke 19:28. I think it's on the screen. So after Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And as he approached Bethpage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. And as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" That's important. Just think of those words. The Lord needs it. That was the only answer. "And those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he told them. And as they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.' And they brought it to Jesus. And they threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. And as they went along, people spread their cloaks on the ground or on the road. And when he came near the place where the road goes down, the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they'd seen. 'Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest,' they said. And some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, 'Teacher, rebuke your disciples.' 'I tell you,' Jesus replied, 'if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out.'" Amen?
Amen.
I love that. If the people like you and me, if the church, if believers, if people who are forgiven and saved by Christ and washed in his blood, man, if we can't be praising God on a day like today, if we can't be shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," we better be careful, because the mountains are going to start crying it out. Because he is worthy.
Amen.
You hear me? He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of our praise. You can clap, yeah? You can shout and say, "Thank you, Jesus." Amen. Amen. Jesus came into Jerusalem. And you might think, well, that's kind of a weird thing to do, to come in on the back of a donkey or a foal. But that is a direct reference back to the Old Testament prophet Zechariah, when he said in Zechariah chapter 9 that the Messiah, it's a messianic passage, he says the Messiah is going to come. And he will ride into Jerusalem on the back of a colt that no one has ever ridden on before. Jesus fulfilled that prophecy when he came into Jerusalem. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. But it's kind of a strange story. It's kind of a strange story, right? A story where Jesus says to his disciples, "Hey, I need you to do something for me. I want you to go and find this colt or this donkey, and I want you to bring it here. I want you to steal it." That's what he's saying, right? Just, "I want you to go and steal the donkey and bring it here." And it's actually, I kind of like Mark, because in Mark's version, Mark is the only one who says, when the guy says to them, "Hey, what are you doing with my donkey? You know, who's untying?" Mark's the only one who says, "Oh, we're going to bring it back." I would have been doing that too. "Don't worry, don't worry. The master needs it. The Lord needs it." Mark says, "We'll bring it back." I like that, because I think that, you know, I would have been saying the same thing. But it's a strange story. I think that's a weird thing to ask. That's like if I said to Steve, "Steve, there's a garage in like Lower Fairview in Riverside Meadows. It's a white garage. It's on 62nd Street. And there's a guy there that's got a 67 Chevelle. It's a nice light blue Chevelle. And it's got a 327 with a four-speed Hurst. I want you to go and get me the Chevelle. Right? Hotwire it. Do what you got to do. Bring it to me. Right? And if someone sees you doing this, just tell him the Lord needs it. Right? Like, that's called Grand Theft Auto, I think. Right? But that's kind of what Jesus is doing to the disciples. He's saying to the disciples, I need this. I need this to fulfill the prophetic word. I need this so that I can ride into Jerusalem. And as I ride into Jerusalem, I am going to be showing my humility and my royalty. Because that was a royal thing that a king would do back in the Old Testament. He would ride on the foal of a donkey that had never been ridden before. And so Jesus is showing, and this is how it's messianic. This is how it is a fulfillment of Zechariah, because he's showing that he is the Prince of Peace. He's coming in humility. Amen. And he is coming as a king. Amen. Into the city. And these same people who today are crying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Hosanna! These same people a week from now are going to be crying what? Crucify him. Crucify him. Yeah. That's what they say. Don't hold back. I hate it when you hold back. One of the things that is really striking about the passage we read this morning is that there's really a shift that happens at this particular point in Jesus' ministry. And this is the shift that happens. Up until this point, Jesus has really been doing everything for the disciples. He's been the master. He's been the teacher. He's been the one who's leading the way. It's always been them who need him. And the shift that's happening and starts to begin right now, and this shift that starts to develop over the next few chapters in all of the Gospels, is that Jesus starts to need them. He starts to ask his disciples to do something for him. And that's what he's doing here. He's saying, will you do this for me? Do this for the Lord. Tell them that the Lord needs this. Up to this point in the Gospels, we don't see much of that. We don't see Jesus having anything that he really needs. He's not asking anyone to do any favors. Will you do this for me? Jesus really doesn't do that until we get to this point. And at this point in the story of Jesus and in his earthly ministry as he's heading to the cross, we see something changing. And what's changing is he is beginning to partner now with the disciples. He's starting to include them. He's starting to need them. And he's saying, I need you to do this for me. I need you to go and to get this little colt. And that's the beginning of a number of times when that happens. A little later on, he sends his disciples to go and find a place for the Passover. He says, go find an upper room. Will you do this for me? Do this for me, he starts to say. He uses those kind of personal words. Do this for me. Do this for the Lord. Tell them when they ask about the 67 Chevelle that this is for God. This is for the Lord. Tell them that, right? Do this for me. A little later on, he goes into the Garden of Gethsemane. You remember that? And in the Garden of Gethsemane, we maybe see this almost, you know, the best, where he's sorrowful, it says in Matthew 26. He was sorrowful and he was troubled, and he said, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. And then he says this to his disciples, stay here and keep watch with me. And we start to see the humanity of Jesus. We start to see that his heart is beginning to break. And he knows what's going to happen. He knows where this is going. He's no dummy. He knows that riding into Jerusalem, he knows where this is going to end up in about a week's time. And so we see him pleading, and we see the anxious, broken heart of Jesus. And he says, stay here. Will you just keep watch with me? He needs them now. Will you keep watch with me? Will you just pray for me? Is really what he's saying. Up until this point, we don't hear that very often. Now we're starting to hear this more. The closer that Jesus gets to the cross, the more he's pleading with his friends and saying, will you just be there for me? Will you just hold me up? I need you. Will you just tell them that the Lord needs this? And even after the death and the resurrection of Jesus, we get another really good example of that. When Jesus says to Peter, "Feed my sheep, will you do that for me? Will you just feed my sheep? Will you feed my lambs? Will you help me with this?" And that's really what Jesus is saying. Will you help me? Will you be there for me? It's partnering now with the Lord. He's saying, I want to partner with you. I want you, I don't want to just minister to you. I don't want to just, you know, have you follow me around. I want to walk with you. I don't want to just do it for you. I want to do this with you. And I want you to partner with me in the building of the kingdom of God. In the building of the kingdom of God. And what's really happening here, and I'm going to try to put it a little more succinctly, is that Jesus is trusting his disciples. He's kind of moved into this relationship, and we'll get this to this in a minute, but he had absolutely no reason at all to trust them. I mean, these people they are not trustworthy any more than you or I are. They weren't trustworthy, but he's really saying to them, I trust you. I trust you. It's kind of like, I don't know if you've experienced that before, but you're 16 years old, and you're sitting next to dad in the car or mom in the car, and they've been teaching you how to drive the car, and then one day he does this. Here you go. And you go, what? What? Here you go. Never did that? Okay. Well, I do remember that. I remember doing this with my kids, where you get to a point where you think, I think you're ready for this. Here. Here's the keys. I trust you. This is what's happening. Are you following me? Is this making sense? This is what's happening. Jesus is saying to his disciples, I need you. I want to partner with you. I trust you. And when I thought about that this week, I thought, well, that is an amazing concept. That kind of blows me away. You trust me? Are you kidding me? You trust me? Do you know what you're talking about? Do you know how untrustworthy I can be? He goes, yeah. But I still trust you. I trust you, I love you, and I want to partner with you even though you fail, even though you stumble, even though sometimes you're a miserable failure, I trust you. Amen. Listen, where's my Bible? This is the word right here. Take this, if you don't listen to anything else, listen to this. And this is in Luke chapter 22 where he says this. You, verse 28, you are those who have stood by me in my trials. I'm going to just stop a minute. Listen to this. You are those, he's talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. You are those who have stood by me in my trials. And I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Isn't that great? Have you ever thought of that before? That Jesus is saying to us, I trust you. And I trust you so much that I want to confer on you a kingdom. The same kingdom that my Father conferred on me, I'm going to confer on you. Because I want to partner with you. I want to work with you. And I trust you. He said these words, by the way, just before he said to Simon, 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 Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Simon. He keeps using the word Simon, so he's not going to use the word Peter, rock, because he wasn't a rock. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, Simon, but I have prayed for you that when you return, you'll be able to strengthen the brothers. What does that mean? It means he knows we're going to fall. He knows we're going to fail. He knows that we're not trustworthy. Am I trustworthy? I'm not trustworthy. He knows all of that, and he goes, it doesn't matter. I trust you. Amen. I'm going to work with you. He said this. He said, I confer my kingdom upon you just as my Father conferred that kingdom on me. He said that just before Peter fell. It didn't matter what was going to happen. It doesn't matter for you or for me either what's going to happen in the future or what happened in our past. He wants you to know this. Listen to this. He's saying to you these words, I trust you. Amen. Wow. I never really thought of that before. I always thought, I have to trust him. I grew up being told that, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Yeah, to be happy in Jesus. And there's truth to that, lots of truth. I need to trust God. Keep trusting God. But what a flip of things when you hear this, that he trusts in me. He believes in me. He trusts in the kingdom that he is inferring or conferring on me and on you. He's saying, I trust you. I trust that you're going to do great things. I trust that I'm going to empower you. I trust that you're going to bring healing to the nations. I trust that you are going to proclaim good news. Good news, yeah. I trust you. I trust you. Where's the keys? Here, I trust you. He said to Peter, here's the keys of the kingdom. Alvin's always got his hand up. He wants the truck, you see. I trust you, he says. Here's the keys. I give you the keys of the kingdom. And when I give you the keys of the kingdom, I give you authority. It's not just Christ who has authority. He spoke to Peter when he said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you release or loose on earth will be released in heaven. Because I give you the kingdom, and even the gates of hell will not prevail. They will not prevail. They will not prevail. Against my kingdom. Against my kingdom. And the kingdom is yours. Wake up, because that's the message. The kingdom is yours. I confer the same kingdom, that's what Jesus is saying, the very same kingdom that the Father has entrusted me with, I'm going to entrust you with, even though you are so untrustworthy. Even though you're going to blow it, even though you're going to mess up, even though you may stumble down the road, it doesn't matter. I am with you always. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Even to the very end of the age. And I confer on you a kingdom, and I trust you, Deb. I trust you, Sifa. I trust you with what I am to give you. Isn't that good? I think that is powerful. That's powerful. I confer on you a kingdom. Not just a ministry. We talk about, you know, God's given me this ministry. God's given me this church. God's given me a Bible study. That's good. I got something better for you. God's given you a kingdom. His kingdom. He entrusts you with it, and it will grow, and it will be powerful, and there will be people who are saved if you just believe that it is the kingdom he gives to you. And that's amazing. Because there's so much about the kingdom of God that is intriguing and exciting and powerful. Don't you agree? Because really what he's saying is that the very same kingdom that Jesus had when he was on earth, that's the kingdom that I now have. Well, you know what that means? That means that people should be getting healed. That means that we should be able to stand against the enemy at the Lotus Club, and the enemy's going to just fall flat. That means that if we resist the enemy, he will flee from us. He won't even be there, because the very same kingdom that was conferred upon Christ has been conferred upon us. That means, if I understand this correctly, that people should be coming to Christ all the time. They should be giving their heart to Jesus, that Hosanna, he saves, that's what the word means. Hosanna is still a pretty relevant word today. And people ought to be coming to Christ in droves. I believe. You know, like Kevin. Right? Right? That is the kingdom of God that we're talking about. That's the kingdom of our Christ. It's about power. It's about healing. And it's about miracles. It's about people actually coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and understanding that the grace of God is an amazing grace. Thank you for saying amen. Can we all try that just to help me out? It's an amazing grace.
Amen.
God, that's good. I was laying in bed on one of the sleepless nights this week for whatever reason, and God just, I got this thought in my head, or just this word from God, and I started to sing, you know, Pretty Good Grace. Pretty Good Grace, how sweet it is that you saved a pretty good guy like me. Oh, it's pretty good grace. You know what? It's not pretty good grace. It's amazing grace. It is amazing grace. It is not pretty good grace. It's amazing grace. I got to stop singing the pretty good grace song. I got to start singing the amazing grace song. And I know it's amazing grace because I've lived this. I've lived this amazing grace. I have received this amazing grace. This is most of you have. Right? But let me just end, though, on this note. Because here's what happens sometimes is we focus on all the things I just said about the kingdom of God that are exciting. And we get rallied up and we get excited about it. We get chomping at the bit. We start talking about healing and driving out demons and casting out the darkness. And we see people healed and delivered. We see people who are set free from brain tumors. Those are the things we get excited about. We start clapping. We go, yes, sir. I want to see people come to Jesus. I want to see people on their knees. This is what the kingdom of God is all about. There's going to be healing and power and signs and wonders. And that's good. And that's part of it. But there's another part of it. The kingdom of Christ was also, let's not make any mistake about this. The kingdom of Christ demanded his life. His friends deserted him. His friends denied him and betrayed him. It cost him his life. They mocked him. They made fun of him. And they ultimately murdered him. And if we are truly going to receive this kingdom, if we're going to receive the kingdom that it is being conferred on us, and this is Jesus' words, just as the Father has conferred it on me, I confer it on you. You can't just stop with the healings and the miracles and the salvations and the driving of demons. You got to go, okay, God, I'm also willing to carry the cross. I'm willing to be betrayed by my friends. I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to bear the pain and the loneliness and the hardship of this for you and for your kingdom. And my friends, this is where we are today. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. You are so good. And Lord Jesus, all I can say this morning is just, I need you, we need you. You show us your amazing power. You show us that you're doing things that only you could do. You are allowing us into the throne room of the King. There are so many amazing, wonderful things that are going on. But we also are aware that there's an attack. We're aware that sometimes the attack comes from our friends. Sometimes the attack comes from our families, even a husband or a wife, Lord. We make a declaration today that we are prepared to receive the kingdom just as it was conferred on you. Make us strong. Strengthen us so that we are one in the Spirit of God. Strengthen us so that our eyes are open to see where the enemy is attacking and where his strategies are, so that we are not unaware of what he's trying to do. Make us strong and resilient so that we know the truth in our hearts. And God, I pray too that just even right now, that our hearts would be soft before you. I know I sometimes pray that for other people. I say, Lord, make that person's heart soft. Today I pray that you'll make my heart soft. It's so easy to pray for other people and to see that you might just give them some enlightenment or that you'll change their hearts, but Lord, we just pray for what's even our biggest responsibility. That's my own heart. My own heart. So where I have been arrogant, where I have been filled with pride, where I have gone ahead without you, I pray that you'll forgive me. And Lord, we each pray that prayer. Where my heart has been stubborn, where the pride has deafened my ears, and where I have gone where my feet should never have gone, we pray for forgiveness. Because I know, God, that until I'm in that place, and I'm not filled with self-pity or anger or jealousy or resentment or rivalry, but I'm just in that place where my heart is soft and open to you, that I can actually hear you. So we just pray that this morning. And God, you know the future. And you are the same yesterday and today and forever. You know what's going to happen next week. You know what's going to happen next year. We just follow you. We trust you. There's so much uncertainty in this world and in our own personal lives. But we surrender. We surrender our health. I think about Anita. I think about others here struggling in their health, God, we just surrender that to you in Jesus' name. Because you are God. I just want to say, God, that it is an amazing thing, and you are amazing, that you would trust us with your kingdom. Thank you for that. Thank you for that. Help us to be Christ to this world. And to this city. In the name of Christ. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. That I am God, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am the Lord who healeth thee. I am the Lord who healeth thee. In thee, O Lord, how's that go? In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust.
In thee, O Lord,
do I put my trust in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Amen. We want to end with this song. It's a song we've been learning the last few weeks. It just talks about how, you know, the power of God is growing. He's doing something very special. There's a cloud. We talked about that a few weeks ago. Anyone remember? Anyone? 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 Okay. Makes me feel better if even, you know, there's a cloud. There's a cloud coming. It's mounting. It's growing. Thank you, Lord. I want to just say, too, that if there's any of you that need prayer today, you're just struggling in something in your life, just come after this song, and we'll be so happy to pray with you. We'll be so happy to just confer the kingdom of God upon you, because that's what's happened. Amen. Let's stand. We end with this song. Listen to the words and worship. Worship the King.
Hear the word roaring as thunder with a new future to tell. For the dry season is over.